Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael.
April 1917, 100 years ago, President Woodrow Wilson addressed a joint session of Congress to request a declaration of war against Germany. Today marks the 100th anniversary of the United States entering that disastrous war where 8.5 million men were killed, 37 million were casualties, all because of egos, the egos of the leaders of the great powers. 100 years ago, history seems to be repeating itself. I am a conservative peacenik. Do you want war with Russia? All of you idiots, all of you fools who are pounding the war drums, I am a conservative peacenik. All day long we're talking about the nuclear option. Nuclear option, we hear. Nuclear option, nuclear option. As if there is no real nuclear option. Well, today the Congress decided to go nuclear. The so-called nuclear option to blow up the filibuster for a straight up or down vote on Supreme Court nominee Gorsuch. Now, even though Harry Reid was first to use the nuclear option in 2013 on lower court judges, and Democrats in the media were all for it, and we have the sound bites of Rachel Maddow, Chris Matthews, Chris Hayes, Lawrence O'Donnell, even the shameful Al Sharpton was screaming, yeah, that's a good thing. Good thing to use the nuclear option and the filibuster. We have their sound bites. We're going to embarrass them. We're going to drag them through the mud and show you who they really are today. Even though Reid and the Democrat operatives in the media cheered it then, they're against it now. They're acting as though the world is coming to an end. But what they're ignoring is a possibility of the world actually coming to an end. Democrats have been poking the Russian bear since Trump won the election. The constant accusations of them fixing our election is not making them any friendlier towards us. And why are the Democrats pushing war with Russia? Because Trump said he could work with them, but it didn't stop there. People in Trump's own sphere are now moving him towards the beating of the war drums. Dems and the establishment GOP both handcuffed loyal Trump advisors like Jeff Sessions and now Devin Nunes to take themselves out of any investigations of the so-called Russia conspiracy. Steve Bannon, a close advisor, was stepped down from his NSC role. And what happened the very same day that he stepped down? War drums, war drums, war drums. It seems the generals want war with Russia. It's the generals who will gain great power if we have war with Russia. It's the generals who led the world into World War I, which, as I said, caused 37 million casualties. It was the frail egos of the warmongers in the military-industrial complex all over again. It seems to me Steve Bannon, a true conservative, no question about it, was fighting with the generals to prevent this insanity of declaring war with Russia. The minute Steve Bannon was pushed aside, the generals took control. The very next second, Trump started saying Assad has to go. A few minutes ago, Secretary of State Tillerson gave a speech in Palm Beach where the president of China just arrived, Premier Xi, where he said Assad must go. A day after Bannon is gone, the generals, the Secretary of State, are suddenly banging the war drums. Mr. President, who is whispering in your ear? Who could have made you make this dramatic turnabout in just a few days? I believe it's the generals. Trump has given generals great power in his administration, and they're now using it to their advantage just as they did in World War I. Like Mr. Trump, Woodrow Wilson, you know Woodrow Wilson? Woodrow Wilson ran on an America First platform. He was a populist. He was also an anti-war activist. Did you know that Wilson was elected because he kept us out of the war in Europe? But someone got to Woodrow Wilson also. They turned him to declare that, quote, neutrality was no longer feasible or desirable. and after World War I, when Wilson tried to rally the world for a lasting peace and to form the League of Nations, our Congress wanted no part of it. And the deal that was reached to secure the peace in Europe became a punishment to the losers. And where did that lead? It led to the humiliation of Germany. What did that lead to? An even greater conflict where millions more died in World War II. And what happened in that body yesterday, the United Nations? Nikki Haley, Trump's pick for UN ambassador, laid the law down to Russia about the attacks in Syria, saying their acts were, well, war crimes, basically, accusing Syria for their complicity in the deaths of children. Do we even know who dropped the gas canisters? Was there an investigation to prove definitively that it was, in fact, the Syrian Air Force that dropped the gas canisters? How do we not know that it's not a game being played again, where the so-called Syrian rebels put in by the CIA, the deep state, are launching gas attacks on the Syrian innocents in order to stir a bigger war? How do we not know? Maybe Steve Bannon was the one fighting with the generals, the only one standing against war, and now he's gone. It's the generals, I will repeat, who rushed world powers into World War I, and it's happening again in front of our eyes. You see the generals' powers increase with war. And they shouldn't want war. The generals should want peace. During the campaign, President Trump came on the air on the Savage Nation on this program, and he said that if he was elected, he would talk to Russia, to Putin, even before he took office. I like that a lot. That's why I supported him. That's what making peace is all about. But the evil, sick, degenerate Democrats have turned making peace with Russia into a crime, and they want to impeach him over it. The generals have gotten to Trump and turned him from peace with Russia. And the people standing in the way of war, maybe Steve Bannon was the only one, were thrown out of the White House, out of the Inner Council. This beating of the war drums has to stop, Mr. President, and it has to stop now. Trump considering military retaliation against Syria. We don't know if Syria dropped the bombs. But a very wise man emailed me before the show, and I said, what do you think is going to happen? The wise man said, well, to prove that he's anti-Russia, he's going to fall for it. He voted for Trump, by the way. The idiot, fake conservatives, the neocon ventriloquists, will say it proves that Trump is strong and he's able to stand up to Putin. He said Assad is finished. ISIS will take over Syria. Now, there are several other elements of this story, many, many other elements of this story that I'm going to get to. I'm going to direct you to a reading assignment as though this is a seminar, a graduate school seminar in war and peace. And I'm going to direct you to the most important document on this subject, which is Trump's War. You have the book. Many of you have the book. Page 137, Trump's War Against the War Machine. I called him a man of peace. Page 139, one of the reasons I worked so hard to get Trump elected is I believe he will be a man of peace. Did you hear this? I said put everything else aside. The most important thing in this world is not the economy. It's peace. Domestic peace, international peace, peace between individuals, peace between nations is far more important than gross domestic product or low interest rates. Hundreds of years ago, I wrote, Thomas Hobbes said the very first law of nature is to seek peace. My friends, this is the essence of true conservatism. And I'm not just talking about the absence of military war on the battlefield. I'm talking about peace between individuals and groups within society. It's the opposite of progressivism, which seeks nothing but conflict. Progressives promote conflict between people of different racial groups, different sexual orientations, and different income levels. They even promote conflict between men and women. This is all in the most important document you could ever, ever have in your hand. I'm appealing to all of you who do not consider yourselves to be politically akin with Michael Savage, but you listen to me because you hear something that you might agree with from time to time. I'm actually imploring you to go out right now and buy a copy of Trump's War, especially for this one chapter, Trump's War Against the War Machine. What are my Savage solutions? One, stand firm on peace with Russia. Two, combat the war propaganda with the bully pulpit. Destroy ISIS and then leave the Middle East. Bring our troops home from unnecessary deployments. I stand by those very words. Russia, 1.7 million. France, 1.3 million. Great Britain and the Empire, 908,000. Italy, 650,000 dead. USA, 126,000 dead. Japan, 300. Romania, 335,000 dead. Serbia, 45,000 dead. Belgium, 13,800. Greece, 5,000. Total allies lost 5 million men in World War I. Germany lost 1.7 million men. Austria, little Austria, lost 1.2 million men in the carnage. Turkey, 325,000. Bulgaria, 87,000. I am talking about human lives. I am talking about men whose legs were blown off, trying to crawl out from wet trenches without legs in their last dying breath, trying to crawl away from legs that were blown off underneath their bodies in World War One. I'm talking about the sloppiest, most disgusting war in human history, World War One. It was all started in the very same way that this war is now being ginned up by the progressives and the neocon ventriloquists. And I, Michael Savage, am a conservative peacenik. Do you want war with Russia? Is that what you idiots want? War with Russia? At the same time this is going on, as you well know, the head of China just arrived an hour ago, Palm Beach. I was quite surprised that the president arrived an hour later. I'll talk about protocol in a moment. I don't know who's advising the president, but if he had asked me, he would not have arrived an hour later as though he's on a date, trying to act like he's, let's say, better than the date. I never saw anything like this. Why was he not in Palm Beach to greet the president of China? I'm asking another question, another violation of protocol. Who is running this administration? And then, I'm sorry to say, Ivanka Trump gets off the plane in a miniskirt, a blue miniskirt. Who is advising this administration? It certainly isn't Michael Savage. Do you remember when they made that huge gaffe with Taiwan shortly after McConnell's wife, a Taiwanese national, was named Secretary of the Transportation? Remember that? She was the first cabinet appointee. Mitch McConnell's wife made Secretary of Transportation. Nice lady, smart lady, good lady. Nothing wrong with her. The very next day or so, Trump committed a huge gaffe by publicly attacking China's one-child policy. By attacking China with regard to Taiwan. Huge mistake, never should have been done publicly. Should have been done privately. I said so on the air. Many of you disagreed with me because you do not know protocol. I do. I understand how the Chinese mind works. I understand Chinese diplomacy probably better than most of the people around Donald Trump. They come from a rather vulgar, primitive, commercial background. And my friends, there's an awful lot at stake right now. I am a conservative peacenik. Do you want war with Russia? Mr. President, listen to me. I am your greatest supporter. Do not let the warmongers bring us to war with Russia.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It is very important that the Russian government consider carefully their continued support for the Assad regime. Assad's role in the future is uncertain, clearly, and with the acts that he has taken, it would seem that there would be no role for him to govern the Syrian people.
I, Michael Savage, am a conservative peacenik. I'm not buying the big lie. Who is it that wants war with Russia? This all comes a day after Steve Bannon was moved out of the inner circle. It doesn't matter what we think of Steve. We don't know Steve well enough to know who he is or what he is. We do know that he represented the conservative wing of the inner circle. That's a well-known fact. Almost to the day that he was removed, the militancy against Syria and Russia has now been ratcheted up by the president and by the secretary of state. In other words, the military-industrial complex has won. Today we hear that President Trump plans military action on Syria. without even knowing who conducted the horrific nerve gas attack on civilians. Trump yesterday spun 180 and said he's changed his mind about military action. Now, somebody used sarin gas, but do we know who used the sarin gas? I don't. Now, while we're speaking about military retaliation, again, I'm going to keep saying this to you until you hear me. The most important thing you could possibly possess on this subject of preventing war is the best-selling book, Trump's War. I'm not going to stop until you understand how important it is to stop the war before it gets worse. Chapter 7, Trump's War Against the War Machine. I pushed Donald Trump because I thought he was a man of peace. I talked about the liberal warmongers. I talked about the neocons in radio and television who have a hatred for Russia and want war with Russia. I talked about the war profiteers. I talked about the battle plan. And you have to now get the ammunition you need to speak to as many people as you can to stop this insanity. The critical mass has been reached. The war drums are now being beaten to a crescendo. I also want to talk about the Harry Reid nuclear option that is being used by the Senate, thank God, to push through the very, very intelligent, very moderate, very great Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. And I have nothing better for your listening pleasure than Harry Reid himself in 2013 explaining why he used the nuclear option right now on the Savage Nation.
The Senate was set up to be different. That was the genius, the vision of our founding fathers, that this bicameral legislature, which was unique, had two different duties. One was, as Franklin said, to pour the coffee into the saucer and let it cool off. That's why you have the ability to filibuster and to terminate filibuster. They wanted to get rid of all that. And that's what the nuke option was all about.
That's what the nuke option is all about. So they invented it. We warned them that if a Republican wins, they're going to regret it. But they were so smug that they thought Hillary would win no matter what. They laughed at us. What goes around comes around.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So the progressives want war with Russia. The military-industrial complex wants war with Russia, maybe even China, throw in a war with North Korea. Let us see. The neocon ventriloquists in the media want war with Russia to prove how tough they are on the radio. It's beyond comprehension that you don't see how dangerous this is. I read you a list of First World War casualties. Each number is a person. Each person suffered and died. 1.7 million Germans, 1.2 million Austrians. 1.7 million Russians, 1.3 million French, almost a million Englishmen and empire, let us say members of the empire, if anyone call them members, a total of 8.5 million men were maimed and killed in World War I. Now added the wounded, POWs missing, 37 million men, 37 million men casualties. We must have peace. We must not permit the warmongers to start a war with Russia or China. But they seem to be prevailing at this time. I am a conservative peacenik. I'm going to make this very personal for you. You have heard me ponder on this very radio show on a regular basis what my purpose is in being on the radio. I'm way past the commercial purpose. Why am I on the radio? Why do I keep doing this? I've asked the question publicly. I question myself privately. Most men in my position would have retired a long time ago, but I don't retire. It's not up to me to retire. That would be suicide. Retirement is intellectual suicide. I don't commit suicide. I am here because a higher power put me here. I can tell you in 100 ways I know it's a fact that I wouldn't be here for 1 second were it not for a higher power. I asked you after the election whether I should continue. Many of you said, yes, you have a job to do. I didn't know what the job was. I know what the job is. I must be a diplomat for peace. I, Michael Savage, must call for the president not to listen to the warmongers who have gotten in his ear. This is insanity. It's changed in a two-day period. And all these people who are screaming for war, most of them never fought in a war. I'd like to hear from the men who actually were on a battlefield. Ask them what they think about going to war with Russia or China. It's all crazy. The whole thing is insanity. It's all wrong. First of all, let's go back to what's triggering Trump's turnabout. Syrian gas attack. Who did it? Why would Assad drop sarin gas on unarmed civilians when he's already winning the war against ISIS? And what would he have gained from it? Just use common sense. He was gaining. They were in retreat. What would he gain from it? Nothing. So who dropped the gas? We saw this before a few years ago, and it turned out that he didn't drop the gas on the civilians years ago. It was done by the Syrian rebels put in place by the generals who are now trying to get us to go to war. But there is another element, and I'm reluctant to say it because of the fear I have in saying what I'm going to say to you. But I guess I'm past the point of holding back almost anything. When I woke up this morning and I started to study this issue of the war drums being beaten and Trump is considering military retaliation against Syria, against Russia, and then I see Tillerson an hour ago, the Secretary of State, saying that he actually ratcheted up. Then I saw this morning that the ex-chief rabbi of Israel said that what is being done to Syrian civilians is akin to the Holocaust, and that it would be a biblical crime not to intervene against Syria. I said, something's wrong with this picture. First of all, a rabbi is not supposed to egg war on. It's supposed to be men of peace. That's number one. Otherwise, they're false prophets. I don't care what they call themselves. I don't care how well they quote scriptures or the Talmud or the Torah. It means nothing to me. If they're warmongers, then they're not rabbis. They're not teachers. So I said, wait a minute. Let's put the pieces of this 1,000-piece puzzle together. Trump was on the side of Russia when he was running for office, which is one of the great reasons I supported him, because I thought he'd be a man of peace while Hillary was calling Putin Hitler, along with the neocon conservatives in the media, who also said he was Hitler, you know, the holdovers from the Reagan years, who want a continuous war with Russia. They haven't grown up yet. They don't understand the world has changed. The Russia of today is not the Soviet Union of the era of Ronald Reagan. Oh, I know, he was a KGB. We heard it 1,000 times. The economy is different. The people are different. It's a different world. So I ask myself, who's really pushing Trump to war against Russia? Who's making him more militant now? But before I give you the inside story of what I think, putting the pieces together, I think we should play the little bit of Donald Trump on this show. I think it was in October of November of 2016. Robert, please play that for the listeners.
If I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration. I think it would be
wonderful. That's an amazing news story. That's an amazing news story. We made news on the show. We were electrifying the world on this radio program all through the campaign. It is why my publisher asked me to please write Trump's war. They, too, want peace in the world. They don't want war. You see, here's the paradox. Or the irony. You got the phonies on MSNBC who make believe that they're peaceniks. They're warmongers. They're sick, degenerate warmongers. Every last one of them is now trying to start a war with Russia. Every last one of the so-called liberals wants war with Russia. How is it that I, Michael Savage, the bad guy, want peace in the world? How is that possible? Now let's talk about the nuclear option again for a moment. We keep hearing from the liars on MSNBC in particular, perhaps the worst network in history, far worse than Wolf Blitzer's girlfriends on CNN. That group of liars, when I see Wolf Blitzer, I want to break something. He's worse than MSNBC. He stands for the worst in the human race. That little white-haired grandpa, old Wolf Blitzer, the propagandist, who toasted a glass of wine during the campaign when Hillary won the nomination. He's a journalist? Well, we know they're fake news. We know Jeff Zucker is a fake news boy. We understand that. He has nothing on Billy Batson. Billy Batson Newsboy would have been a better chief for CNN than Jeff Zucker. But this is not a comic strip we're dealing with. We're dealing with life and death. And warmongers need not apply. So we hear on CNN and MSNBC that the evil Republicans are using a nuclear option, which is so bad for America. It's going to destroy 200 years of tradition. First of all, I played for you the fact that Harry Reid himself created the nuclear option. He created it. He talked about it in November 2013. You heard it on the Savage Nation, nowhere else today. I'm sure you didn't hear it anywhere else. I'm positive. But I got something better for you right now, courtesy of Newsbusters. Here's one to take home to the children. Here are the very same progressives who are now screaming bloody murder about the Republicans destroying the democratic process by using the nuclear option to vote on Neil Gorsuch. Here they are in 2013 celebrating the use of the nuclear option. I want you to listen carefully as you hear the biggest phony of them all, Rachel Maddow, Chris Chill-Up-His-Leg Matthews, Al, the street vermin, Sharpton, the Democrat operative Paul Begya, and, of course, someone named Howard Feynman. I don't know who he is. Listen to them celebrating the very thing they're attacking now.
Well, the idea of requiring a supermajority for the president to appoint his nominees just is anachronistic.
Here's the thing. It's been so abused, this filibuster. The filibuster can be a very good thing. It compels bipartisanship, but it's been so abused they just can't take it anymore. So I think they did the right thing.
This afternoon, Democrats took the bold step of changing Senate rules, scaling back the filibuster that Republicans have unfairly used to block the president's nominees.
Judges can be blocked on an up or down vote, on a majority vote, like always, but they cannot be blocked anymore with just a minority of votes. Republicans cannot force that anymore.
It's due to the action of the Senate Democrats today, there will be no more 60-vote requirements to get the president's appointments confirmed, no more dallying around in delay tactics, no more Mickey
Chris,
Mouse.
You drunkard,
with
you.
Any luck, there will be action.
This is a huge freaking deal. This is like 3-inch headline.
I agree with you about this being an affirmative win for democracy. If that is the case, why do we still have the filibuster for legislation?
I was afraid of, okay, what happens when the other side has this power?
You heard it all. No one has played this yet on the air that I know of. If they did, good luck to them. I don't listen to everything being played. This was put together by Newsbusters. Here are the very same liberal, phony, hypocrite liars screaming against the nuclear option, supporting the nuclear option when they were in power. And now let me tell you something. When they designed this little trick, the nuclear option, and Harry Reid glorified it, they thought for sure that they would run this country for 100 years at least. And therefore, they figured they could use this nuclear option, no matter what happened, to push any legislation they wanted. They were so arrogant and so drunk on their power under Barry that they figured that, what the heck, what have they got to lose? I warned on this show, I said, be careful what you're doing right now, because if, God forbid for you, a Republican should win, it's going to be used against you. Well, everyone laughed at me because they said it's not possible. There will be no Republican president. Don't be silly. It's never going to happen. Well, by hook or by crook, we have a Republican president, whether you like him or not. He is the president. He's Republican. And the Republicans in power are going to use the very, very petard that you created to hang you with. You know the old saying, hung by their own petard? There's a reason for that saying, hung by their own petard. The Democrats are being hung by their own petard. They created the nuclear option. They're now being hung by it. My friends, I want to take some calls from combat veterans who agree with me when I call myself what I've called myself. I thought my monologue was very important, perhaps my most important in a very long time. And what's even odder is that even the far-left extremist, Noam Chomsky, is calling the Democrats' obsession with Russia conspiracy theories a joke. I see it as clear as a bell. This whole thing with Syria is invented. The invented Syrian gas attack by Assad makes no sense at all. His side is winning. ISIS is on the run. Why would he do that against unarmed civilians? What would he stand to gain from it? No, 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 don't take the bait. Who is it pushing war? Now, remember what I said at the beginning of this 10,000-piece puzzle. Who was pushed out of the White House yesterday? It actually happened a week ago. I knew about it a week ago, but I was sworn not to say a word. I did not say a word. He was pushed out. He left yesterday, out of the inner circle, off the National Security Council. In comes the war wing. Who's doing it? Ah, my friends, there's the rub. All of the internationalists, all the globalists want war. Did you understand what I just said to you? Who wants war with Russia more than anyone? Georgie Soros hates Putin. Who else wants war with Russia? The liberals in the United States of America want war with Russia for reasons I've expressed over and over again. He is the cultural enemy of the radical degenerate left in the West. He is the only one standing in the way of the radical degenerate left from taking over the entire world. They want war. It seems to me now that the liberals and the neocons are prevailing, and they have both of Donald Trump's ears. I am Michael Savage, and I am a conservative peacenik. Do you want war with Russia? I can recommend an enlistment station in your neighborhood. You're never too old to enlist in the military, even those of you in the media. You could always go down and contribute to the war effort. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Dr. Michael Savage back with you. You know, my mother always used to say, you are what you eat. And boy, she was right. But really, who knows what's healthy anymore, right? Well, here's something I can tell you for sure. Drink Super Beets. Drink it. What is Super Beets? Super Beets is a circulation superfood. Just one glass of it a day helps give you the cardiovascular power of this amazing vegetable. Now, why is this important to you? It's all about healthy blood flow. If you're over 40, your body may be losing its efficiency around energy, stamina, and even maintaining healthy blood pressure. Drinking good-for-you superfoods helps feed your body's cardiovascular and circulatory system and boosts your stamina and energy at the core level. You see, professional and college athletes trust Super Beets to help them be their best, and you should also. So do something good for yourself today. Go to SavageLovesBeets.com, SavageLovesBeets.com, and try Super Beets. Right now, you can get an additional 30-day supply of Super Beets for no additional cost with your first order plus free shipping. How can you beat that? Try it. Go to SavageLovesBeets.com today or call 1-800-481-0504. Write it down. That's 800-481-0504, SavageLovesBeets.com. So we are talking about war and peace. We're talking about the most important thing a man on earth can do. This is the number one lesson that all religious people are taught, which is peace. Jesus brought us a message of peace. Rabbis are supposed to teach us peace and how to find peace, not only within ourselves, but between people. And yet we have warmongers disguised as conservatives or disguised as progressives who every day spit and fume hatred like spit vipers, spitting hatred, wanting war, not peace. So how did this suddenly happen that Donald Trump, who I thought was a man of peace, is taking this gas attack in Syria, hook, line, and sinker, as though he knows for sure it was the Syrian Air Force that did it, when common sense would indicate it was not the Syrian Air Force? I want you to try and use common sense, even if you are a dumb progressive, even if you are an ideological stupid right-winger. Listen to me carefully. Assad is winning the war on all fronts. ISIS is on the run. Why in the world would Assad unleash sarin gas on innocent civilians? Logic tells us he did not do that. Logic tells us it's people who want war who did that. Now, who benefits from a war with against knocking Syria out? Israel. Period. End of story. Israel benefits the most if Assad is gone. One of Israel's number one enemies has always been Syria and the Syrian Air Force. One thing Israel wants, in my estimation, and it's only a guess, I have no way to know any of this. I'm just a man on the second floor looking down on the street watching people go by. Israel wants the Syrian Air Force gone. Israel wants Syria gone. Israel would rather face Hezbollah and ISIS than the Syrian military, because the Syrian military is a military. Hezbollah is not a military, as tough as it may be. It has no air force. It has no navy. It has no weaponry that can threaten Israel. ISIS is nothing to them. They can crush them like mice. So think about it carefully. Think about it carefully before you buy this hook, line, and sinker. Who was stopping this warmongering? It looks like Bannon. The day Bannon was out, Trump turned 180. That's my opinion. I'm Michael Savage. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. So said the Spanish philosopher Santayana, well-known phrase. World War I, to this day, 100 years ago this day, is the day the United States of America entered World War I. And what was the result of that totally and absolutely useless war? What did we gain from that war? Well, the world gained Nazism, which then led to millions of more deaths. Because, you see, the world powers that led us into World War I, which led unto itself to 37 million casualties. Let me say that again for those of you who are complaining about, let's say, an earache, a headache. Try to imagine 37 million casualties from World War I. Try to imagine even one of the men whose legs were blown off in a muddy trench, crawling with his last dying energy out of the trench with no legs before he died, because it happened thousands and thousands of times. 8.5 million killed, 21 million wounded, 7.7 million blown to smithereens, 37 million casualties. World War I. We have peace right now. We must not permit the warmongers, left and right, to start a war with Russia or China, but they seem to be prevailing at this time. I am a conservative anti-war activist. Do you want war with Russia? Why do you want war with Russia? All day long we're talking about the nuclear option. Nuclear option in Congress. Nuclear option. Nuclear option. What about a real nuclear option? What about a real nuclear option? How about a war with North Korea? Do you think that would result in the end of North Korea's ability to threaten Japan and the United States West Coast? I don't think so. I'm sure that North Korea has the ability to hide deeply underground and launch from deeply underground. So be careful what you say. Oh, I want North Korea wiped off the map. I want millions of people killed because I'm such a smart man in the media. Or you want Assad killed and removed based on no evidence whatsoever. Donald Trump has taken it hook, line, and sinker that Assad did this sarin gas attack. I don't. Not for 1 minute do I believe it was Assad. Because common sense would dictate that a man who is prevailing after 7 horrible years of war, he is now winning. ISIS is on the run. Al-Qaeda is on the run. The Al-Nusra Front is on the run. All of the Islamists are in retreat. Why would he launch a gas attack against innocent civilians? The answer is he didn't. It's those who want him gone who launched the gas attack. Logic would dictate that is what is true. That is why I am a peacenik and I don't want war with Assad or with Russia. I believe it's the generals. I believe the same mentality that got us into World War I, where old men led young men to their deaths and doom, are doing it again. Old farts like General Mattis. Old farts never die. They just open the bomb bays all over again. Trump has given these old generals great power in his administration. They're not all conservatives. Do you actually think that these men are true constitutional Republican conservatives? I don't. They're just generals. They just live for one thing and one thing only, which is war, not for peace. Most generals live for war, not for peace. That's why they're military generals. Do you understand that? That's what they're trained for. It would be like asking a mixed martial artist to write up a peace plan. They're not trained for peace. They're trained to beat the other person's head into a pulp. That's good that we have them, but they should not dictate policy. Now, remember this. Woodrow Wilson is remembered as a man of peace. Every time you see the Wilson Foundation, you hear, well, they're left-wingers, they're peaceniks, they're socialists. Woodrow Wilson, who led us into World War I, first ran as an anti-war president. He said he would not let Americans die on a European battlefield. And the American people cheered him. They didn't want war in Europe. They didn't want foreign wars. Wilson ran as a populist. Does that sound familiar? Trump ran as a populist. Trump ran as a man of peace, didn't he? Don't you remember him being on this show all those months? Woodrow Wilson ran on an America First platform. Sound familiar? He kept us out of war in Europe. But something happened to Woodrow Wilson. At a certain point, he declared that, quote, neutrality was no longer feasible or desirable. Now Trump is saying something must be done about Assad. History eerily repeating itself. What happened yesterday in the United Nations? Nikki Haley, a nobody, Trump's pick for UN ambassador, went on an assault against Russia about the attacks in Syria. Really interesting. I never liked Nikki Haley. I was not a fan of Nikki Haley. I met Nikki Haley. I walked away from her. I never thought she was of any consequence whatsoever. She doesn't know what she's talking about. So, my friends, I am a neoconservative. No, I'm not a neoconservative. I'm a Michael Savage conservative. Define it as you will. I really don't even like labels. I am what I am. But I don't believe war is the answer. There's a time for war and a time for peace. This is not a time for war. It's a time for more peace, and more peace. Not for more war, and more war. And yet the Pentagon, we read, is drawing up options to respond to Syria's chemical attack. The old FARC Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph Dunford, they're all drawing up war plans. They've never been happier. Why? Well, they're taking place amid new reports of another chemical attack in Syria. Do we know who launched the chemical attack? Has there been an investigation to definitively prove that Assad would do it, which would be insane, by the way? Well, my guess is we're not going to have any ground troops over there. They'll launch some cruise missiles from ships in the Mediterranean. We'll have another electronic television war along the lines of blowing up an aspirin factory that Clinton did. Remember Wag the Dog? Do you remember it? You want me to tell you something really embarrassing that you don't want to hear? Where are Trump's poll numbers right now? In the garbage. What happens when a president gets into trouble, no matter whether he's a liberal or a conservative, Democrat or Republican? Invariably, what do? They go to war. Reagan did it. Bush did it. Clinton did it. Obama did it. They all do it. And what happens the minute war is launched? The people rally around the president and his poll numbers go up. As ugly as that is what you are witnessing in front of my own eyes. Who was the greatest supporter of Donald Trump? I. Who wrote Trump's war calling for peace? I did. You know, it's easy to say Michael Savage is a warmonger, but if you actually took the time to read Trump's war, you would find the exact opposite is true. The most important book on this subject is my book, page 37 and onward. Trump's war against what? Do I call for war? No, I call for peace. I call for peace in his war against the war machine. Trump's war against the war machine, page 137 of the most important book you can still buy, and I suggest you buy it. I give you one if I could. I give out a million copies if I could to stop the war madness. Just after the election, I saw Mel Gibson's movie Hacksaw Ridge. It was the perfect movie to see in the context of Donald Trump as an anti-war president. While I was watching this moving film, Trump was speaking to Russian President Putin, even though Trump hadn't even been sworn in yet. The two men vowed to work together. It was a sigh of relief for me. The left should have been celebrating Trump instead of rioting in the streets. You know why? Because we almost had a war with Russia, thanks to the psychopath who previously occupied the White House, the man who thought he was the greatest thing since the cure for polio. He was ginning up a war with Russia, and the neo-libs, the neocons were salivating. Candidate Trump was on my show a month before the election and said he'd meet with Vladimir Putin if he could, even before he was inaugurated. That's how badly Trump wanted to tamp down war talk. The crazy feminist sorority that surrounded Obama was dying for a war with Russia. I led Trump to that commitment with a series of questions I asked him during this show. I've been writing about the demonization of Putin and Russia for years in my books. Putin is no angel, and Russia's interests don't always coincide with ours. But that does not mean we must be enemies or give the forces of darkness in Washington another war to get rich on while the rest of us suffer and our soldiers die for nothing. That's why I wanted a commitment from Trump to talk to Putin at the earliest possible opportunity. I got it. I got that commitment on this radio show. And I said, do you realize that if Trump does nothing else, he's already done more than any other president would have given us, especially the hysteric Hillary Clinton, who wanted a war in order to satisfy the bloodlust of her followers. And then I wrote this. I said, I am an anti-war conservative. I know you don't understand what those words mean, because you think liberals are anti-war, but they're not. And I wrote, as you can see in the streets of America, they are the violent fascists of our time, using the drug-addicted children as their shock troops, the same way ISIS uses civilians as human shields. One of the reasons I worked so hard to get Trump elected is I believe, I wrote, he will be a man of peace. And I wrote this, and I'll stop right here, because it's so important you hear these words. Some words have meaning, you know that? Well, these words have great meaning to me. I hope they do to you. The most important thing in this world is not the economy. It's peace. Domestic peace, international peace, peace between individuals, and peace between nations is far more important than gross domestic product or low interest rates. Hundreds of years ago, Thomas Hobbes said, the very first law of nature is to seek peace. That is the essence of true conservatism. And I'm not just talking about the absence of military war on the battlefield. I'm talking about peace between individuals and groups within society. It is truly the opposite of progressivism, which seeks nothing but conflict. Progressives promote conflict between people of different racial groups, different sexual orientations, and different income levels, all in Trump's war. I should win the Nobel Peace Prize for this book. Do you know that? I'm saying it like it is. This chapter alone, at a time like this, I should be in Stockholm to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Because of all people, would you think I, Michael Savage, want peace or do I want war? Ask yourself who was beating the war drums. Ask yourself why I wrote Trump's War when I was really trying to sell peace. And then you'll come to understand why I say I am a conservative peacenik. And I ask you, do you want war with Russia? I'm begging you, go to a bookstore, read pages 138 to 142. Xerox copy those pages if you have that book. E-fax them to everybody you know. Email them to everybody you know. And then you'll come to understand that you can be a conservative, you can be a nationalist, you can love America, you can fight for borders, language, and culture, and you could also be a human of peace. I'm Michael Savage. That is why I live. To spread peace, not war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7222.
Isn't it ironic that all of the peaceniks on MSNBC and CNN are foaming at the lips to blame Russia on an almost one-year level because Hillary Clinton started the big lie, Obama kept up the big lie. We had peace with Russia, and then the vermin of the left ginned up a false narrative about Russia, and all of a sudden, now even the neocon ventriloquists are foaming at the mouth, calling for war with Russia. What's odd is that even far-left extremist Noam Chomsky calls the Democrats' obsession with Russia conspiracy theories a joke during an interview with a Juan Gonzalez. Even he sees through this garbage. I don't understand how you people can be so fooled by them. I don't understand how the American people are so naive to buy every lie so hook, line, and sinker, like fish in a pond being given false bait to bite upon. Combat veteran calling Dave on KVOR up in the hills of Colorado. Dave, line 6. What do you think about my position being a conservative peacenik? How does that strike you?
Hey, Dr. Savage. Your position, I think, is actually the true spirit of, like, the thinking American military person. I was a stealth bomber guy. I helped run the, I was overseas helping run the, part of the air war for Libya. And the funny thing is, you know, as soon as Obama took office, from that point on, almost from that point on, Obama had lost the heart and mind of thinking military people. And so anything that...
Let's fast forward to Donald Trump. I'm sure the military loved him and elected him because they thought he'd be a man of sanity and peace. What will happen if he launches a war against Syria and Russia based upon the false narrative that it was Assad? And we don't know whether he did it or didn't do it, but precipitously launches a war without any investigation. What will the military feel?
A precipitous decline, again, in morale and trust. We, as military people, the only people, while we're sitting there in Libya, the TV is on and Obama's up there speaking from Rio de Janeiro while American military service members are putting their lives at risk in Libya. We're all shaking our heads, except for the generals who are taking their orders and passing them down the line. Everybody else who's a thinking, honest person is shaking their heads saying, what do we do? Who are we training against this week? And so if Trump does this thing in Syria, he's going to lose the vast majority of moral support he had from the military crowd, either post-military or current military.
Well, Dave, I take your word for it, and I'll send you a copy of Trump's War. Please share the chapter, Trump's War Against the War Machine, because I believe he's a man of peace. It happened in one day. Then he turned, in 2 days, he turned from a man of peace to like repeating the big lie all over again. Rich, stay on the line. I'll send you Trump's War. Thank you for calling. Dave, up in Colorado. Zach, KSFO, line one, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Savage. First off, mad. Thanks for the book, Teddy and Me. I absolutely love reading the story of the...
Okay, 20 seconds. 20 seconds is all I got left.
Quick. I just wish you had more stories about Tippy and maybe Bandit. Hey.
All right. Jim, no Teddy and Me calls. The war is on the verge of a war. I love Teddy. Teddy wants peace. One nuclear bomb can ruin all your dog's days.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, I think the Obama administration had a great opportunity to solve this crisis a long time ago when he said the red line in the sand. And when he didn't cross that line after making the threat, I think that set us back a long ways, not only in Syria, but in many other parts of the world, because it was a blank threat. I think it was something that was not one of our better days as a country. I now have responsibility, and I will have that responsibility and carry it very proudly. I will tell you that.
Carry it very proudly? So we've gone from a president of peace to a president of a questionable status in a 48-hour period based upon a sarin gas attack, the origin of which we do not know. But I will present to all of you who know for sure that Assad did it, how you know that. Can anyone listening to this program, even the neocon ventriloquists, can you tell me for sure that you know Assad did it? How would you know that? Moreover, let's use common sense, which I know doesn't exist in the American mind anymore, but I come from another generation where I use Aristotelian logic. So let's use some Aristotelian logic. It's a mathematical question. Why would a man who has been in a civil war for 7 years fighting for his survival, when he is finally winning, after seven bloody years, winning, ISIS is on the run, al-Nusra is on the run, al-Qaeda is on the run, why, when he is winning, would he commit such a blunder as to turn the whole world against him by attacking civilians? Tell me why. Well, he wouldn't, so he didn't do it. Who else did it? Let's go down the list of who stands to gain if Assad is knocked out of power. Quite simple. Look at the geopolitics of the Middle East. I'm sorry to tell you, Israel's a big winner if Assad is gone. Because after this is all over, they do not want a strong Syrian military presence. They've never had good relations with Syria, not in modern times. They've been at war with Syria since they were founded. Look at the war, all the wars that Israel's fought. Look at the Golan Heights War, where Israel was macerated. It was one of the bloodiest battles in Israel's history. I knew an Israeli tank captain who told me that the Syrians were some of the greatest fighters he's ever met, amongst all of them. Highly trained, highly dedicated, very brave. He was a tank captain. All his tanks were knocked out on the Golan. And he said that the Syrian tank commander's tanks were all knocked out. It was captain versus captain. All the men were dead. All the tanks were blown up. He said the Syrian captain came out of his tank with a 45, a handgun of some kind, rushing to the Israeli to kill him. He said his gun was empty. He pulled out a flare gun and shot it into the Syrian's chest and saw him go up in flames. He said that's how they fight. So I guess they don't forget their wars, and I guess they want Syria out of the battlefield completely, out of the picture completely. If you were an Israeli, you'd say, why wouldn't I? May as well go for broke here. So who launched the sarin gas attack? How would I know? All I know is that this is the 100th anniversary today that the United States entered World War I. 100 years. Remember what you learned in school? Those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. Santayana, the great Spanish philosopher, taught us that. Great saying, but it has meaning. We're repeating history again. Woodrow Wilson, man of peace, president elected on a populist platform, America First platform. He coined the phrase America First. Did you know that, Woodrow Wilson? I know the idiot progressive said that when Trump used it, it was a Nazi phrase, but it wasn't. It was actually a phrase of Woodrow Wilson. They waved banners at the 1916 Democratic National Convention saying he kept us out of war. And soon thereafter, Wilson said that neutrality was no longer feasible or desirable where the peace of the world is involved. Huh. How do you like that? Wilson, the man of peace, the populist, the America firster, the populist, the nationalist, the isolationist. Remember to this day, if you look at the Wilson think tank, it's a think tank of the left, pulled us into war, pulled America into war. He later won the Nobel Peace Prize for his role in founding the League of Nations, the first global organization devoted to peace. It's interesting that we're seeing history repeat itself. So who is it who's whispering in Trump's ear? Let's get down to the basic facts. This all changed in a 48-hour period. Bannon is forced out during an internal power struggle. Bannon was a nationalist, not a globalist. Bannon is a nationalist, not a globalist. Bannon was fighting the military establishment on a daily basis, according to all reports. He was vying with the generals for supremacy and dominance. They won, he lost. Next day, we're talking about war with war against Syria and Russia. That's what just happened. Wag the dog, coming next. It's Thursday. You can expect a small launch by Saturday, maybe. A few cruise missiles without any evidence. There will be a rush to judgment, a rush to war. And Donald Trump's popularity ratings will go up 20 points overnight. You will hear all of the neocon ventriloquists on the radio and television cheering. Well, that shows you that Trump is a real leader, a real man of action. You see that? No, I don't see that. I lobbied for him. I fought for him. I worked for him because I thought he would be a stabilizing influence against the military-industrial complex. That's why I wrote Trump's War, best-selling book. There's a reason people are buying the book and talking about it. There's a reason it's on everyone's tongue, because they say, well, he's a conservative. Isn't he a warmonger, Michael Savage? No, he's a peacemonger. You wouldn't expect that, would you? Would you expect that it's the progressives who are the warmongers, that everything you thought was true is false? Everything you thought was false is true, politically? If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. So said Rudyard Kipling in one of his great poems. I've never forgotten that adage. Finally know why I'm living again. My raison d'etre, man of peace. That's all I'm here for, no other reason. You know that every day before my show, I usually put my hand on the Bible, ask Robert and Jim, they see me through the screen. I put my hand on an Old Testament that I keep for all these years, the one with all the post-its, and I make a simple prayer. It's a simple one. I say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And then I say something else, an addendum. It's actually a request from God. And I say, God, please let me do your bidding and not make a fool of myself. That's all I ask for every day. Yesterday I didn't pray. I had come back from vacation. I was a little upset from it. I was off base. I couldn't focus as much as I would like to. I'm 100% focused today, and I know what my job is, what I'm doing for you right now. And so, my friends, we have a huge, huge problem on our hands. I know we're all talking about Neil Gorsuch and the nuclear option. But let me remind you that Harry Reid explained why the nuclear option was created by the Democrats. And let me remind you that all the leftists, so-called, on MSNBC, Mad Cow, Sharpton, Begala, remember him? Matthews, Chris Hayes, O'Donnell, all the socialists, so-called, all defended the nuclear option for lower court justice nominations when they were in power. We have the soundbite. Listen to clip 3 on the Savage Nation in case you think I'm making it up.
Well, the idea of requiring a supermajority for the president to appoint his nominees just is anachronistic.
Here's the thing. It's been so abused, this filibuster. The filibuster can be a very good thing. It compels bipartisanship, but it's been so abused they just can't take it anymore. So I think they did the right thing.
This afternoon, Democrats took the bold step of changing Senate rules, scaling back the filibuster that Republicans have unfairly used to block the president's nominees.
Judges can be blocked on an up or down vote, on a majority vote, like always, but they cannot be blocked anymore with just a minority of votes. Republicans cannot force that anymore.
It's due to the action of the Senate Democrats today. There will be no more 60-vote requirements to get the president's appointments confirmed, no more dallying around and delay tactics, no more Mickey Mouse.
You hear this?
With any luck, there will be action.
This is a huge freaking deal. This is like a 3-inch headline.
So you understand that the so-called progressives on MSNBC are deranged liars. They were celebrating the nuclear option because they thought that they would have power forever. Hillary would win, and they'd use it over and over again to force their candidate, their selections down the throat of the Republicans. But they didn't win. They lost, and now they don't know what to do. Can you hear me now? Can anyone out there actually hear me now, those of you who never understood who I was? Now, remember this. When Trump won, the despicable Charlie Schumer in New York said, oh, boy, you better be careful, he said to Trump, because when you go to war with the intelligence agencies, the deep state, they can get back at you 6 ways to Sunday. You remember that, Robert? Do we have that clip? Robert's so good, he probably could find it. You're not going to believe this. Schumer was telling Trump that the CIA, the NSA, the FBI would get even with him. Listen to the clip the minute Robert finds it, if he does. Schumer was warning Trump that the intelligence agencies, the so-called deep state, would get back at him 6 ways to Sunday. So who's actually behind this war? Well, who benefits from war? Are the agencies of peace going to benefit from a war? No, it's the intelligence agencies that would benefit from a war. Do you understand that? Here's old Chuck Schumer, never to be trusted so much with a kitten.
You take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this. They are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them. And we need the intelligence community. We don't know what's going on. Look at the Russian hacking. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered it.
So, you want to meet me for a pickle? So, history and global production of sarin, synthesized in 1938 by your friends in Germany. Oh, yes, it was the Germans, once again, those who gave us Zyklon B, produced sarin as they were developing new pesticides. The name sarin derived from the names of the chemists involved in its creation. Did you know it was Schrader, Ambrose, Rudriger, and Vanderlin? No, you didn't know that. Sarin. German government decided not to use chemical weapons and artillery during World War II. Soviet Army captured the plant at Dürrenfurth at the end of the war and resumed production of sarin in 1946. But between 1950 and 1956, it was the United States that was producing sarin. I believe we still have stockpiles totaling 5,000 tons stored in different parts of the United States. Syria, Egypt, Iran, Libya, North Korea, and Iraq have confirmed or suspected created stocks of sarin. Iraq produced sarin between 84 and 85. Prior to Operation Iraqi Freedom, Iraq had admitted to once having at least 790 tons of sarin. We can go on and on, but we don't know who used this sarin gas. How do we know who did this? By the way, who is it in the inner circle who suddenly turned Donald Trump from a man of peace to a man of war? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Back to the Savage Nation. I mean, we're talking about war and peace, but on a practical level, let's talk about safety. Do you have an old cell phone that you want to donate or resell? Well, be very careful, please, because thieves who purchase old phones apply scanning technology to find personal information they can use to recreate identities and open new accounts. So before getting rid of your old phone, take 5 minutes to remove your SIM or SD card, encrypt your data, and wipe it clean with a reset. It is time well spent, okay? Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. It happens when thieves use your information to pretend that they're you. They can buy things on your credit card, liquidate your bank accounts, and even get your retirement funds. That's why I have LifeLock. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions every second. If they detect your information being used, they send you an alert. If you have a problem, a U.S.-based agent will work to fix it. That's different than free credit monitoring, which only alerts you to changes in credit. Now, look, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. We know that. But LifeLock is the best identity theft protection that is available. Membership started only $9.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. So please go to LifeLock.com, call 1-800-LIFELOCK, use promo code SAVAGE. That's SAVAGE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Go to LifeLock.com, SAVAGE, and save 10% now. So who's behind the sarin gas attack? Do we know? No, but there are those in the area who have to gain from it. I sent a memo to an Israeli-based correspondent who I respect, and I said, is Israel pushing Trump into war against Assad, Russia, to take out Hezbollah? I got an answer back a minute ago. It says this: I don't think Israel had anything to do with the chemical weapons attack, but they have specific info on Iran being incredibly nervous about Trump enforcing the nuclear deal, and more. Iran is prepping its proxies to heat up the Israeli border if necessary. Israel is deeply concerned about major Hezbollah movements in recent weeks, anonymously coming out of Israel. You figure out the rest of that little puzzle, okay? Because there's much more at stake here than you may imagine. I am a man of peace, and I don't want to be drawn into someone else's war all over again. It's not that I'm going to fight the war. I'm not going to be on the front lines, but America's best and brightest will be wasted again over nothing, like they were wasted in Iraq, like they're being wasted in Iran. What are they there for? Why are we in Iran all these years? Why is the war not over? Why is it a permanent presence in Iran? Why are we all over the place? And never forget that it was a man of peace who pulled us into war in World War I. Woodrow Wilson is remembered as a man of peace. He ran on an America First platform. Did you know that? And yet he dragged us into World War I. Then he created the UN, or tried to create the UN. Today, Trump considering military retaliation against Syria. A very bright man writes me. He says, Michael, they're going to egg him into a war. The idiots will say it proves he's able to stand up to Putin. He said Syria's Assad is finished. ISIS will take over Syria. Those are some of the headlines. And I want you progressives who listen to me religiously, because you know there's something in my delivery, something in my voice, something in my intelligence that resonates with you. Even the far-left extremist Noam Chomsky calls the Democrats' obsession with Russia conspiracy theories a joke. You cannot pull the wool over my eyes. And I'm going to close with an appeal. It's an appeal that you go out and you buy another copy of Trump's War. I must get the message of peace across. Chapter 7, Trump's War Against the War Machine. Savage solutions. Stand firm on peace with Russia. Combat the war propaganda with the bully pulpit. Destroy ISIS and then leave the Middle East. Bring our troops home from unnecessary deployments. I rest on that simple set of ideas. I'll be back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The change we propose today would ensure executive and judicial nominations, an up or down vote on confirmation. Yes, no. The rule change will make cloture for all nominations other than the Supreme Court a majority threshold vote. Yes or no. The Senate is a living thing, and to survive it must change as it has over the history of this great country.
Thanks, Harry. Your legacy actually is brilliant. Thank you for creating the nuclear option. Of course, you thought that your party would be in power for 1,000 years. Little did you know that Donald Trump would win with the help of Michael Savage. And now what goes around comes around, and he's going to use the nuclear option to put a great centrist on the Supreme Court. But I really want to talk not so much about the nuclear option, but about nuclear war. We have peace with China. We have peace with Russia. We must not permit the warmonger wing of the Trump administration, the idiots who know nothing about world politics. Maybe they know about real estate in Manhattan. Maybe they know about how to make money off real estate deals. God bless them. I'm a capitalist. But maybe they're morons when it comes to international diplomacy. Maybe they don't know what diplomacy is. Maybe diplomacy is different than business deals. Maybe diplomacy is much different than conniving to gain control of a piece of real estate or using a hedge fund to produce nothing, to take everything, to destroy lives across the landscape and calling yourself a businessman is not my idea of business. I really should talk about that for a minute. I haven't done that today, which is the hedge fund operators. Hedge fund operators are not capitalists. They're pirates. The original idea of capitalism as created by Adam Smith was not about piracy. It was about fairness and competition. And then suddenly something happened. It was Bill Clinton who lifted all of the restrictions on Wall Street. You see, he put someone in from Goldman Sachs, the fly fisherman, if you remember his name. Another Goldman Sachs Secretary of the Treasury. Remember him? Old Rubin? Old Rubin lifted the controls that had been put in after the Great Depression to prevent runaway speculation. And since then, we've had nothing but runaway speculation. Some have gotten richer beyond any imagination. Some have gotten poorer than you can ever imagine. The rich have gotten richer, the poor have gotten poorer. We know what happened, and we thought that Trump would be the populist to change all of that. Maybe he will be. Got to give him some time. It's only been 100 days. But the people behind him, many of whom are hedge fund operators and real estate operators, maybe know nothing about international politics. Maybe they're very smart people when it comes to making a deal for a piece of real estate or trading against the company's profitability and destroying the company and taking a big profit. But maybe they know nothing about diplomacy, and maybe they shouldn't be trusted to be whispering the president's ear. That's what the show is about. That's what the show is only about today. I realize you're saying, well, that's a change of pace for you, Savage. You're a supporter of Trump. I still am. I still will be. But I want to reach the president today and say, Mr. President, do you want war with Russia? Because most of America does not. I believe, Mr. President, you must not listen to the generals anymore. The generals have too much power as it is. And one of your predecessors, Woodrow Wilson, ran on an America First platform, Mr. Trump. It's the platform you used to become president. Didn't you use the phrase America First? And the ignoramuses in the media said it was a Nazi phrase created by Hitler and used by Charles Lindbergh. Well, no, it wasn't a Nazi phrase, not created by Hitler. It was created by Woodrow Wilson, who led us into World War One after running as a peace president. Mr. Trump, please don't listen to the generals. You've given them too much power. And what happened yesterday is very telling. Again, Bannon is part of this change of pace. Bannon was the only one inside fighting with the generals for war with Russia. According to my analysis, and this is all I have is my one man's opinion. I sit here on the outside watching the world go by like the rest of you do, and I try to put it together. To me, it looks as though Bannon was fighting with the generals for power, of course, but also for ideas. Maybe Bannon didn't want war with Russia. Maybe Bannon argued against war with Russia. I know there was a lot of infighting with Bannon and the generals, between Bannon and the family of Donald Trump. Well, now the generals and the family of Donald Trump are in power. And the very next day, we hear about sarin gas, Syria did it, take out Assad, take down Russia. What am I going to hear this afternoon? That China needs to be obliterated from the planet as well? During the dim sum tonight at Mar-a-Lago, I'll hear someone from New York City say, give it to those Chinese. Show how tough you are. Tell them what you're going to do to them. We might hear something as crazy as that tonight from people with zero experience on the world stage. I will tell you that I know more about diplomacy than all of them put together. I can tell you right now they don't know what they're doing when it comes to dealing with nations like China, nor with Russia. They have no idea what the mentality is of a nation like Russia, nor a nation like China, because unless they know the history of these nations, unless they have a smattering of the knowledge of the culture of these nations, they have no idea what they're talking about. It's not just another guy with a building on Third Avenue who you want to beat to the punch and buy the building. In some ways, it can be seen as that, but that's a very limited view. It's much bigger than that. Countries come with cultural attachments. Maybe they have no cultural background. Maybe they come from a background where there is no culture except greed, aggression, and winning. That's an American value. It's a universal value in some ways. But there are nations with deeper values than that. And these are nations that have lost hundreds of millions of people over the years, tens of millions, excuse me, in wars. Case of China, they know what war is, they know what peace is, they know what starvation is. Case of Russia, World War One, Russia lost 1.7 million men. That's why there's so many Russian beauties running around right now, to make it very, very pragmatic for you. World War Two, the Russians lost millions more fighting Hitler. Did you know that? And so the country was denuded of a lot of their young men. It doesn't mean they're weak, they're very strong. But they're not as strong as they would have been had they not wasted their men in World War One and World War Two. Germany lost 1.7 million men in World War One, which led to Hitler's rise in World War Two, where millions more lost their lives because of the idiocy of the peace conference called whatever that was called, the League of Nations, where they divided up Germany, cut it up, took away land from Germany, and sowed the seeds of fascism. By humiliating Germany in the League of in that peace treaty, the Treaty of Versailles, right? By humiliating Germany during the Treaty of Versailles, they created Hitler. They created fascism. So there are consequences to actions that people like when you defeat an enemy. But you have to think long term about defeating an enemy. And what you do with the defeated enemy is more important than what you do in defeating the enemy. Again, these are things that are not thought about by men who do not think. I've had a whole lifetime to just think. That's all I do. Do you know that I'm a thinker? That's what I've done my whole life since I've been a little boy. They used to say to me when I was 5 years old, Michael, 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 don't think so much. Don't think so much, they would tell me. I didn't even know what they were talking about. I think, therefore I am. That's what I've been doing my whole life. It's why I'm in the place I'm supposed to be. And I was born to spread the word of peace. That's what I'm here for. Nothing else. It's all boiled down to that. Not war, but peace. It is the neocons who are pushing war. It's the fake progressives who are pushing war, screaming, foaming at their lips on MSNBC for war. How is this going to end if you don't think it through? That's why I said today I'm a conservative peacenik. Do you want war with Russia? Then I direct you to the nearest recruitment station in your neighborhood. Go and enlist in the military. Go and enlist no matter what your age is. Give up your career in the media. Go enlist and go fight Russia. Show us what a great warrior you really are. My friends, these are serious days. Teddy, stop it. My dog is interrupting me once again because he's nervous. Because he knows that one nuclear bomb can ruin the day for every living creature on the earth. He knows that. So while we're arguing about the nuclear option in Congress, what about the nuclear option to blow up the world? Have you thought about that one? Democrats have been poking the Russian bear since Trump won the election. The constant false accusations about him fixing our election has almost provoked a war with Russia. Now they're escalating it. And now people in Trump's own sphere are moving him towards the beating of the war drums. Why? Why is this happening all of a sudden? You know, I've not taken really many calls today. I took some combat veterans and that was it, because I'm very, very worried about the direction that Donald Trump is taking. The turn in the last 2 days is extremely worrisome. We did not know what the power struggle inside the Trump camp was about. We thought it was just egos. But I think it was more than just Trump. I'm sorry, it was more than Bannon versus Kushner. I think there's much, much more at stake than Bannon versus Kushner. It's something far more nefarious than that. Don't know what it is. Do you? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Savage Nation, or maybe some of you are surprised today for me to take this position. Many of you who listen to me are not surprised. You know who I am. You've read Trump's War. You've read my previous books. You know that I'm a man of peace. You know that I am absolutely knowledgeable about history, and I'm not going to go down the, let us say, the path of calling for a military response to the sarin gas attack, because, number one, we don't know who did the sarin gas attack. In that, as I said to you, and I'll say it over and over again, if you still have an illogical faculty left in your brain, ask yourself this question and only this question. Listen to me. Assad is winning. ISIS is on the run. Al-Nusra is on the run. Al-Qaeda is on the run. They're leaving the big strongholds. They're beaten. Why would a man who is winning a war do a gas attack against innocent civilians knowing the whole world would come down on him like a ton of lead bricks? He did not do it. It's a big lie. It's a big lie, and it's occurring almost a day to the day after Bannon was thrown out. The propaganda machine went into overdrive. I would be remiss if I didn't read the following to you. The ratings have just come in. This is a ratings-based business. It never appears on the internet, so you won't see it unless I give it to you. There's a company that rates the streaming shows, radio streaming shows, those who listen to the radio on devices other than radios. Once again, Michael Savage is number one with a 19.5 share. Rush Limbaugh, number two with a 15.7. Laura Ingraham, 8.7. Sean Hannity, number four with a 5.8. Six, Hugh Hewitt with a 3.0. Glenn Beck at seven with a 2.4. Alex Jones at eight with a 2.3. Mike Gallagher at nine with a 2.0. And Howie Carr at a 10 with a 1.7. I didn't make up the numbers. All I do is talk. I think, therefore, I talk. This is the Savage Nation. Ratings-based business. Without ratings, we're not in business. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making Trump's War a number one bestseller with zero media exposure. Think about that. Fox News wouldn't have me on. Why did they blacklist me? Nobody knows. All the fingers point to one man. All the fingers. Everyone says, I don't know why I can't have you on the show. We'd love to have you on Fox News. You're great. Your audience would boost my ratings. One man seems to be the man with the thumbs down. But you know what goes around comes around. That one man who thought he was God Almighty, that one man who thought he was God Almighty is now suffering a boycott that was liable to drive him off television. I read that this one man's show grossed over $170 million last year. That's enormous. Fabulous. My hat's off to him. With the boycott that's being enacted against him, I would say he's going to lose about $100 million in revenue, if not more, this year. Maybe he won't be so high and mighty. Maybe he'll come to understand that what goes around comes around, and that when you blacklist somebody, one day you might be blacklisted. And when they come for you, there'll be no one left to defend you. Just maybe the leprechaun will come to understand that. KSFO, Dan, line 8, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I am from part of that world. I'm a minority Christian from that area. There is no incentive for Assad to do what he did, period. You're God sent. There's nothing, there's no reason for him to do that. It's the propaganda.
So I understand that, just as there were. So you come from Iran, is that it, Dan?
That is correct, sir.
And so you know what they did to the Shah, how they smeared the Shah to get rid of him. And as a result of that smearing of the Shah, the world has now faced the cancer of radical Islam ever since. So who is going to win if Assad goes? Assad has protected the Christians and the Jews in Syria for all of these years. What is going to happen to the Christians and Jews when Assad is gone? They'll be slaughtered.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Do the idiots around Trump understand this? Are they prepared to protect the churches and the synagogues? Are they prepared to protect the Jews and the Christians from these psychos? Are they prepared for that, or they just want to see bombs falling? Because it'll sell books, it'll sell radio shows, it'll sell television shows. What is wrong with this world?
Michael, I hope...
Dan, listen. You know, if you've listened to me for any number of years, you heard something in my voice today that was a little different. It's called urgency. The urgency of my voice was meant to make sure it breaks through to Donald Trump, nobody else. He must understand that his number one supporter is extremely worried right now as he is being talked into a war that is totally unjustified and unnecessary, a war that will be a disaster for the entire world. That is what the show is about today, Dan.
Absolutely, doctor. Thank you so much.
All I can say is you know the truth. I mean, I would be remiss to say that anyone from Iran doesn't know what's going on is akin to what they did to the Shah. They certainly do know what was done to the Shah. The same thing is happening. Kamali, on line 9, you have 30 seconds. Please give us your main point. Line 9.
Camille, thank you. My father is from Syria. I speak to my family in Damascus almost daily. And your timeline is correct, except for one thing. Bannon left last week. 4 days ago, Nikki Haley got up on the UN and said the administration's present policy was not to rid itself of Bashar al-Assad. And then the gas attack happened, and everything changed. What happened in the interim?
Well, who do you think launched the sarin gas attack?
My opinion? It wasn't my opinion. Just my opinion. Wasn't Bashar al-Assad. Who has the most to gain from it?
Come on, 5 seconds. They don't give you an answer. They're not made for radio. He didn't give us the answer. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
I'm Michael Savage. I'm a conservative peacenik. I'm not buying the big lie. Who is it that wants war with Russia? This all comes a day after Steve Bannon was moved out of the inner circle. It doesn't matter what we think of Steve. We don't know Steve well enough to know who he is or what he is. We do know that he represented the conservative wing of the inner circle. That's a well-known fact. Almost to the day that he was removed, the militancy against Syria and Russia has now been ratcheted up by the president and by the secretary of state. In other words, the military-industrial complex has won. Today we hear that President Trump plans military action on Syria without even knowing who conducted the horrific nerve gas attack on civilians. Trump yesterday spun 180 and said he's changed his mind about military action. Now, somebody used sarin gas, but do we know who used the sarin gas? I don't. Now, while we're speaking about military retaliation, again, I'm going to keep saying this to you until you hear me. The most important thing you could possibly possess on this subject of preventing war is the best-selling book, Trump's War. I'm not going to stop until you understand how important it is to stop the war before it gets worse. Chapter 7, Trump's War Against the War Machine. I pushed Donald Trump because I thought he was a man of peace. I talked about the liberal warmongers. I talked about the neocons in radio and television who have a hatred for Russia and want war with Russia. I talked about the war profiteers. I talked about the battle plan. And you have to now get the ammunition you need to speak to as many people as you can to stop this insanity. The critical mass has been reached. The war drums are now being beaten to a crescendo. It seems the generals want war with Russia. It's the generals who will gain great power if we have war with Russia. It's the generals who led the world into World War I, which, as I said, caused 37 million casualties. It was the frail egos of the warmongers in the military-industrial complex all over again. It seems to me Steve Bannon, a true conservative, no question about it, was fighting with the generals to prevent this insanity of declaring war with Russia. The minute Steve Bannon was pushed aside, the generals took control. The very next second, Trump started saying Assad has to go. A few minutes ago, Secretary of State Tillerson gave a speech in Palm Beach, where the president of China just arrived, Premier Xi, where he said Assad must go. A day after Bannon is gone, the generals, the Secretary of State, are suddenly banging the war drums. Mr. President, who is whispering in your ear? Who could have made you make this dramatic turnabout in just a few days? I believe it's the generals. Trump has given generals great power in his administration, and they're now using it to their advantage, just as they did in World War I. Like Mr. Trump, Woodrow Wilson. You know Woodrow Wilson? Woodrow Wilson ran on an America First platform. He was a populist. He was also an anti-war activist. Did you know that Wilson was elected because he kept us out of the war in Europe? But someone got to Woodrow Wilson also. They turned him to declare that, quote, neutrality was no longer feasible or desirable. And after World War I, when Wilson tried to rally the world for a lasting peace and to form the League of Nations, our Congress wanted no part of it. And the deal that was reached to secure the peace in Europe became a punishment to the losers. And where did that lead? It led to the humiliation of Germany. What did that lead to? An even greater conflict where millions more died in World War II. And what happened in that body yesterday, the United Nations? Nikki Haley, Trump's pick for UN ambassador, laid the law down to Russia about the attacks in Syria, saying their acts were, well, war crimes, basically, accusing Syria for their complicity in the deaths of children. Do we even know who dropped the gas canisters? Was there an investigation to prove definitively that it was, in fact, the Syrian Air Force that dropped the gas canisters? How do we not know that it's not a game being played again, where the so-called Syrian rebels put in by the CIA, the deep state, are launching gas attacks on the Syrian innocents in order to stir a bigger war? How do we not know? Maybe Steve Bannon was the one fighting with the generals, the only one standing against war, and now he's gone. It's the generals, I will repeat, who rushed world powers into World War I, and it's happening again in front of our eyes. You see the generals' powers increase with war. And they shouldn't want war. The generals should want peace. During the campaign, President Trump came on the air on the Savage Nation on this program, and he said that if he was elected, he would talk to Russia, to Putin, even before he took office. I like that a lot. That's why I supported him. That's what making peace is all about. But the evil, sick, degenerate Democrats have turned making peace with Russia into a crime, and they want to impeach him over it. The generals have gotten to Trump and turned him from peace with Russia. And the people standing in the way of war, maybe Steve Bannon was the only one, were thrown out of the White House, out of the Inner Council. This beating of the war drums has to stop, Mr. President, and it has to stop now. Trump considering military retaliation against Syria. We don't know if Syria dropped the bombs. But a very wise man emailed me before the show, and I said, what do you think is going to happen? The wise man said, well, to prove that he's anti-Russia, he's going to fall for it. He voted for Trump, by the way. The idiot, fake conservatives, the neocon ventriloquists, will say it proves that Trump is strong and he's able to stand up to Putin. He said Assad is finished. ISIS will take over Syria. Democrats have been poking the Russian bear since Trump won the election. The constant accusations of them fixing our election is not making them any friendlier towards us. And why are the Democrats pushing war with Russia? Because Trump said he could work with them, but it didn't stop there. People in Trump's own sphere are now moving him towards the beating of the war drums. Dems and the establishment GOP both handcuffed loyal Trump advisors like Jeff Sessions and now Devin Nunes to take themselves out of any investigations of the so-called Russia conspiracy. Steve Bannon, a close advisor, was stepped down from his NSC role. And what happened the very same day that he stepped down? War drums, war drums, war drums. I also want to talk about the Harry Reid nuclear option that is being used by the Senate, thank God, to push through the very, very intelligent, very moderate, very great judge, Gorsuch, to the Supreme Court. And I have nothing better for your listening pleasure than Harry Reid himself in 2013 explaining why he used the nuclear option right now on the Savage Nation.
The Senate was set up to be different. That was the genius, the vision of our founding fathers, that this bicameral legislature, which was unique, had two different duties. One was, as Franklin said, to pour the coffee into the saucer and let it cool off. That's why you have the ability to filibuster and to terminate filibuster. They wanted to get rid of all that. And that's what the nuke option was all about.
That's what the nuke option is all about. So they invented it. We warned them that if a Republican wins, they're going to regret it. But they were so smug that they thought Hillary would win no matter what. They laughed at us. What goes around comes around. All day long, we're talking about the nuclear option. Nuclear option, we hear. Nuclear option, nuclear option. As if there is no real nuclear option. Well, today the Congress decided to go nuclear. The so-called nuclear option to blow up the filibuster for a straight up or down vote on Supreme Court nominee Gorsuch. Now, even though Harry Reid was first to use the nuclear option in 2013 on lower court judges, and Democrats in the media were all for it, even though Reid and the Democrat operatives in the media cheered it then, they're against it now. They're acting as though the world is coming to an end. But what they're ignoring is a possibility of the world actually coming to an end. So the progressives want war with Russia. The military-industrial complex wants war with Russia. Maybe even China throw in a war with North Korea. Let us see. The neocon ventriloquists in the media want war with Russia to prove how tough they are on the radio. It's beyond comprehension that you don't see how dangerous this is. I read you a list of First World War casualties. Each number is a person. Each person suffered and died. 1.7 million Germans, 1.2 million Austrians, 1.7 million Russians, 1.3 million French, almost a million Englishmen and empire, let us say members of the empire, if you want to call them members, a total of 8.5 million men were maimed and killed in World War One. Now added the wounded, POWs missing, 37 million men casualties. We must have peace. We must not permit the warmongers to start a war with Russia or China. But they seem to be prevailing at this time. I am a conservative peacenik. I'm going to make this very personal for you. You have heard me ponder on this very radio show on a regular basis what my purpose is in being on the radio. I'm way past the commercial purpose. Why am I on the radio? Why do I keep doing this? I've asked the question publicly. I question myself privately. Most men in my position would have retired a long time ago, but I don't retire. It's not up to me to retire. That would be suicide. Retirement is intellectual suicide. I don't commit suicide. I am here because a higher power put me here. I can tell you in 100 ways I know it's a fact that I wouldn't be here for 1 second were it not for a higher power. I asked you after the election whether I should continue. Many of you said yes, you have a job to do. I didn't know what the job was. I know what the job is. I must be a diplomat for peace. I, Michael Savage, must call for the president not to listen to the warmongers who have gotten in his ear. This is insanity. It's changed in a two-day period. And all these people who are screaming for war, most of them never fought in a war. When I woke up this morning and I started to study this issue of the war drums being beaten, and Trump is considering military retaliation against Syria, against Russia, and then I see Tillerson an hour ago, Secretary of State, saying that he actually ratcheted up. Then I saw this morning that the ex-chief rabbi of Israel said that what is being done to Syrian civilians is akin to the Holocaust, and that it would be a biblical crime not to intervene against Syria. I said, something's wrong with this picture. First of all, a rabbi is not supposed to egg war on. It's supposed to be men of peace. That's number one. Otherwise, they're false prophets. I don't care what they call themselves. I don't care how well they quote scriptures or the Talmud or the Torah. It means nothing to me. If they're warmongers, then they're not rabbis. They're not teachers. So I said, wait a minute. Let's put the pieces of this 1,000-piece puzzle together. Trump was on the side of Russia when he was running for office, which is one of the great reasons I supported him, because I thought he'd be a man of peace while Hillary was calling Putin Hitler, along with the neocon conservatives in the media, who also said he was Hitler, you know, the holdovers from the Reagan years, who want a continuous war with Russia. They haven't grown up yet. They don't understand the world has changed. The Russia of today is not the Soviet Union of the era of Ronald Reagan. Oh, I know, he was a KGB. We heard it 1,000 times. The economy is different. The people are different. It's a different world. So I ask myself, who's really pushing Trump to war against Russia? Who's making him more militant now? It seems to me now that the liberals and the neocons are prevailing, and they have both of Donald Trump's ears. I am Michael Savage, and I am a conservative peacenik. Do you want war with Russia? I can recommend an enlistment station in your neighborhood. You're never too old to enlist in the military. Even those of you in the media, you could always go down and contribute to the war effort. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So now you're going to be in a weird situation. You identify as a nationalist, you identify as a conservative, and yet you're anti-war. Why is that paradoxical? Why is that paradoxical to be anti-war and pro-peace if you're a conservative who loves your nation? Is it any more paradoxical to protect animals when you're a conservative politically? I don't think so. You don't have to slaughter animals and torture them to be a conservative. That would make you a buffoon. So somebody wrote me an email and they said, what's going on now in the Middle East with Syria, with this false claim of Assad gassing his own people. Let me be very clear. We don't know who did it, but it makes no sense to me that Assad would do it. Use common sense. Assad's power has grown enormously over the last 6 months, thanks to Russia decimating ISIS and Al-Qaeda and on the al-Nusra front, thanks to the tremendous fighting of the Kurds, thanks to all of the people around him. He's winning. Why would he take the chance to kill his own people with gas? Makes no sense. Use your brain. So someone sent me an email and said, is this false flag attack, this war is Gulf of Tonkin? The emailer says, who wanted war with Vietnam? No one did. And yet the Gulf of Tonkin resolution said that the Vietnamese, the communists, were attacking our naval ships in the Gulf of Tonkin, and therefore we had to go to war. See, there was always a pretext. Every war has a pretext. This is the phony pretext for the next war. The war machine is very much in gear. Bannon is out. The generals are in. The neocons have taken control. The neolibs have taken control. The opportunists are now running the inside. They're running really hard on the inside to gain whatever they can by any means. Nobody knows where this will end. We all know that war is wrong, and we must lobby the president to be a man of peace. Those are my final words on the show today, which is, I was put here on this planet, if for anything at all, if there is a God in heaven, and if there is a reason for me to live, it was for today, to spread the word of peace using logic and compassion. And again, I direct you to my Bible, Trump's war, where there's an entire chapter of Trump's war against the war machine. It is prescient. Please share it with a friend before it is too late. Tomorrow we will continue this discussion, and I hope by the end of tomorrow you will come to understand that Assad has no reason, nothing to gain, to gassing his own people. So who did it? Who did it? Who done it? Who done it?
Savage.